Greeks and Italians are working to avoid default as the European debt crisis continues.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou could step down as early as today when a unity government takes over there. Now, the new Greek parliament will then have to push through big cuts needed to get the next installment of a European bailout. Over in Italy, which has an even bigger debt problem, yields on government bonds rose to above 6.5% today, levels not seen since the country's been using the euro. But what exactly is a bond yield, and how does it affect the country's financial future? Brian Rayling is chief fixed income strategist at Wells Fargo Advisors, and he's with us now from St. Louis. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Brian, we hear a lot in the media, sometimes on this program, as a matter of fact, about the yield on notes and treasuries. I mean, those are the country's bonds. But what exactly is a yield on those bonds?
Well, when we look at yield in the bond market, you can just think about it as the interest rate that these countries have to pay for people to lend money to them. So, you know, if the yield is 5%, then the market is saying that that country would have to pay 5% to borrow money for that length of time.
Why does it matter for a country what the yield is on their debt? I mean, that 5%, 6%, whatever it may be.
Well, since countries have to continually borrow money to pay their debts, when yields go up, they have to pay a lot more money to borrow. So it's much cheaper to fund yourself if people are willing to lend you money at very low rates or very low yields than it is at higher yields.
Is there a point, Brian, of sort of no return, that it's just too expensive to borrow money anymore?
Yeah, every country would have a point where those expenses get quite high. I'm not sure if there's a magic number for any one country, but as yields do get higher, it takes up a larger portion of their overall budget, and that total overall interest expense as a portion of the budget becomes unsustainable, and even additional cost-cutting in other areas or revenue generation in other areas, it just becomes unsustainable in order to fund themselves as rates move higher and higher.
Brian Rayling with Wells Fargo Advisors. Brian, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are lower right now, between, a third of a percent for the Dow to about a full percent for the NASDAQ. The Dow down 43 points at 11,939. Global shares are mostly lower at the moment. European shares off about 0.5% before closing for the day. Dish Network says revenues were up 30% in the last quarter while subscriptions were down. And Barnes & Noble this morning unwrapped its competitor to the iPad and the Kindle Fire. The tablet version of its Nook e-reader will sell for under $250. Things are drying out in Thailand, but because of geography there, floodwaters are still flowing from the countryside into the capital city of Bangkok. Today, more than a third of that city's districts are now under some sort of evacuation order. And flooding could last for a couple more weeks, further disrupting the world's supply chain. The BBC's Rachel Harvey is in Bangkok with the latest there. Hey, Rachel.
Hello there.
How much more damage can two more weeks of flooding create?
It could create quite a lot more damage because the longer these floods persist, the longer this crisis goes on, then the more, both in terms of human damage but also economic damage, this is causing. There is the threat to another bunch of factories. That means potentially more workers that are going to be temporarily out of work. So the longer this goes on, the worse it seems to get.
A lot of people didn't realize, Rachel, that Thailand was such a key manufacturing base. Where does Thailand sit in the global supply chain?
It is a key point of transit for both computer parts, hard drives in particular, but also auto parts. It supplies other parts of the world, but it also has assembly plants here. So in both cases in the auto industry, but also the parts shortage is causing big problems much further afield. In the United States and in Europe, for instance, Honda has had to cut production. Same with computer hard drives. Looking ahead towards the Christmas rush, there are already worries that they're just not going to be able to get the kind of parts that they will need. So it is a crucial hub in this region, not just for Asia, but much further afield.
The BBC's Rachel Harvey in Bangkok. Rachel, thank you.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. by CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Mark Zuckerberg is back at Harvard today for the first time since he dropped out of school. It turns out the Facebook founder has regrets about where he moved his business. From Station WBUR in Boston, Kurt Nickisch explains why.
Mark Zuckerberg cooked up his social networking website in his Harvard dorm room, but went on to build his company in Silicon Valley. So recently, a bunch of Valley entrepreneurs did a double take when they heard him say this.
Honestly, if I were starting now, I just would have stayed in Boston.
Zuckerberg was really complimenting Boston on the loyalty I think we all have here.
That's Jason Ivanish, a 26-year-old entrepreneur in Boston, where tech workers stay with their companies longer. In Silicon Valley, software developers hop from job to job for the best offer, and that turnover makes it harder for companies to grow. So Zuckerberg is back in Boston to recruit.
We all feel a little bit vindicated.
Katie Ray runs a tech startup accelerator here, but in some ways she wishes Boston were more like Silicon Valley.
What's been missing in Boston has been this like massive turnover and learning opportunities.
Learning opportunities that come from moving quickly onto the next challenge, even though tech companies would rather their workers stay put. In Boston, I'm Kurt Nickisch for Marketplace.
No matter where Zuckerberg's employees are, one thing is for certain. Facebook has tons of reach. Just today, Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi announced on Facebook that rumors of his political demise are premature, causing stocks to go up and down all morning. And Berlusconi's government faces debt worse than Greece and a confidence vote that could oust him from power. But with Facebook, he can react to any story at any time or hide out for a while. Just play Farmville. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
In France, bread is a way of life, and so are the bakeries that make it fresh every day.
They help to really construct the landscape of French ontology, of French being, of French identity.
But bakeries ain't 24/7, you know. I'm Kai Rizdal-Paris. Gets a baguette vending machine, believe it or not. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.